It's great to see everybody tonight for our Sunday night service. We have visitors among us, and we welcome them, and we wish them to, if they have opportunities to come back and be with us, we definitely would love to have you come and visit with us here at O'Neill. It's been almost 4.5 months since many of us have made our New Year's resolutions. How many of us are still committed? How many of us are still committed to that little list maybe that you wrote down? Anybody? I don't know. Some of them I've had to kind of mark through or kind of, messed up a little bit. But tonight, as we think about that and think about, commitment, And making commitments. And when we think about a commitment, we think about an agreement or a pledge to do something. We think about something, we think about dedication. We think about devotedness. We think about devotion and faithfulness and loyalty. And back here in our class, and I know these guys are thinking every time they have me write something down, I'm going to use it in my sermon, but it just happened to work out this time. But we talked about commitment, and we talked about dating and going into dating and making dating something that was very serious as you go through dating, and then we're talking going into divorce and remarriage. And so today, in between those lessons, we talked about commitment and what commitment meant. And some of the guys in the back, they said, commitment is never giving up. It's never giving up. It's staying with what he or she is doing. Someone who is committed to God is someone who comes to church, reads the Bible daily, takes something out of the lesson, and then learns from it. One of the guys put staying with each other through everything, and being about that one person. And when things get, hard, that person will still be there, or you will still be there for that other person. Being committed is you have to give your all. One person wrote. Another person wrote, I think that commitment is when you agree to do something. Another one said, someone who's committed to God is someone who. Oh, I already read that one. So being committed. Pledging or agreeing to do something, being faithful. And as we think about that, and as we think about that as a commitment to God and the church, I need to ask myself this often. How committed am I? How committed am I to God? How committed is Matt to doing God's work, doing God's will? And I think about this, and I think about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and he's asking Jesus, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What is it that I can do that I can have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "If you'll be perfect, you go sell all that you have, you give it to the poor, then you're going to have treasure in heaven, and you come and you follow me." Well, as you've already looked up here in this verse, in verse 22, you can see that his commitment was not really in the question that he asked. He wanted to know, what can I have to get eternal life? He's told the answer, and how does he feel about it? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His commitment, his dedication, his faithfulness, his devotion, what was it to? It wasn't to what it took to get eternal life. It was to his earthly possessions. How dedicated are we? How dedicated am I? As we look in Matthew chapter 10, actually verse 37, he says, "He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I tell my kids, "I love you." I tell my wife, "I love you." But I love God more. And that's the attitude that we have to have, is that we love God more. We're dedicated to Him. In class this morning, I said, if our commitment to God is what it should be, our commitment in our marriages and our relationships and all the other aspects in our life will fall in order. If our commitment to God is what it should be, how faithful are we? How faithful am I? When I look in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, can it be said about me? Can it be said about you and our faithfulness? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Is that how faithful we are? Is that how faithful I am? When we think about how loyal we are, because these are, again, some of those synonyms that we use when we're talking about commitment. Peter said in Matthew 26, 21, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said also all the other disciples. How loyal was he? In his mind, in his words, he was very loyal. I'm going to die. I'm not going to deny you. I will die for you. And not just him, all the disciples said that. But when it got down to it, what did they do? How loyal were they? Peter did deny him. Not once, but three times. And everybody else did what? They forsook him. Commitment. How committed to the Lord are we? We have an individual here. And I don't know if anybody in this room even knows him. I didn't know him. But his name is Shun Fujimoto. 1976 Summer Olympics. And this individual here, he competed in the team gymnastics competition for Japan. And in the quest for the gold medal, he suffered a broken right knee on the floor exercise. But the injury did not stop him. This guy right here, during the next competition, he went to his strongest event, the rings. This was the next week following. His routine was excellent, and he astounded everyone by squarely dismounting with a triple somersault twist on the broken right knee and landed it perfectly. When asked concerning his feet, he said, "Yes, the pain shot through me like a knife. It brought tears to my eyes. But now I have the gold medal, and the pain is gone." Here we have an individual who was truly committed to his sport, who was truly committed to his country, so committed that he would not let anything stop him from reaching his goal. We need the same commitment today in the Lord's church. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, to not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We have got to have that fervor. We've got to be on fire for serving God and being totally committed to Him. Are we committed, though? Many today are not willing to be totally committed to the Lord because it demands sometimes too much time, doesn't it? So when we think about being committed and how committed we are to the Lord, we can look at it from this illustration about a hen and a pig. And if you've already, if you've heard this illustration, just bear with me as we go through it. But there's a hen and a pig, and they come to the church building, and they see this advertisement on the billboard. It says, "What can we do to help the poor?" Well, the hen immediately suggests, "You know what? Let's feed them bacon and eggs." Pig thought about it for a moment. "Now, there's something wrong here with feeding them bacon and eggs," he said. "For you, it only requires a contribution. For me, it requires total commitment." Think about that. Is Matt just giving a contribution, or is Matt giving a total commitment to God? We have in our songbook here, number 449. And I want us to look at this song. Just look at the words of this song. And you can turn out your... I didn't put them up here on the slide, but you have your book, and we can use these books sometimes, open them up, look inside them. We don't do that very much. You have the overheads. But none of self and all of thee. And thinking about the attitudes that we have, and thinking about, just remembering that, all these different things in our lives, all this present sufferings that we're going through, it's not even worthy as compared to what we're going to gain one day. But as we think about this and we think about our commitment, listen to what he says here in this. "Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee." Sometimes is that us? All about me, none about Him. Yet he found me, and I beheld him bleeding on the cursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. When my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Or some of us would give a little bit, expect a little bit. Day by day, His tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and none of more of Thee. Less of self and more of Thee. Less of self and more of Thee. Brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of Thee. See, the attitude is changing. Is that still where we want to be, though? Less of self and more of Thee. Look at the last verse. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, Thy love at last has conquered. None of self and all of Thee. None of self and all of Thee. None of self and all of Thee. Lord, Thy love at last has conquered. None of self and all of Thee. We live in a society today that being committed to self, dedicated to what I want, devoted to my needs, loyal to me, myself, and I, and we constantly put other things in our life above serving our Lord and Savior. Many times, as we just looked through there, it's all of self and none of Thee. Sometimes it's some of self and some of Thee. There are times when in our lives it is less of self and more of Thee, and almost getting it right. But then, what we should always strive for is that none of self and all of Thee. How much, as we think about that and think about how much we give to God and think about that, and how much of our heart does He want? How much of Matt's heart does God want? How much does Jesus want? We can see that as Jesus agreed with the lawyer in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and the lawyer answers and he says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind, and as thy neighbor as thyself. Can you agree with that? That's how much He wants. So as we think about our heart and how much He has of our heart, where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, I'm sure we can go ahead and finish that verse. But when we think about where our treasure is, where is it? Where is our treasure? We can say things, but what is our life? When people see us, what is really the master of our lives? What has our heart? When we think about the world versus Jesus, where is our treasure? When we think about what the world offers us and what we give to the world or what we give to Jesus, where is our treasure? When we think of our family versus Jesus, which one has the most treasure? Is it our family that we see here or is it Jesus? Our friends, where is our treasure? Is it with our friends or is it with Jesus? When we have some gatherings or social gatherings, and maybe it was a friend or maybe it's with a family or with whatever group, which one has our heart? If it's working, sometimes are we working and we just fail to do God's will? Going to school, is that what we need? We love, and I love going to school, but is that where my treasure is? Sometimes we have homework, and we choose to do projects over doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes we choose homework over coming and doing Bible work. Where is our treasure? Sometimes we choose sports, these fun activities that we love to engage in, that we love to watch. Sometimes we watch those things, but when it comes down to it, it's sports versus Jesus. Which one has our heart? There may be a great TV show on that I want to see, but which is it? Is it the TV show or is it Jesus? It could be my cell phone. I can tell you, and I use my cell phone a lot for a lot of different things. And you may see me at this point looking at my phone, answering stuff or answering questions. Or sometimes I'm just on it, just having a good time, just getting lost in all the different social medias that are out there. But Matt has to look at his life too. Does those things consume my time more than my time for Jesus? We all have that question, the question to answer. But for where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Matthew 6, verse 21. Where is Matt's heart? Where is it? What's number one in my life? What's number one in your life? Maybe we'll say Jesus. Maybe we'll say God. But when we start looking at our life and we start writing down the things that take our time, what is the real number one? What is the real number two, number three, number four? Where does Jesus fall? Where does serving God faithfully fall? If it isn't number one, our treasure, our commitment is not where it needs to be. You see, Jesus made us His priority. He made us His priority. He didn't say, you know, I don't want that stripe. You know, give me one less because I don't want to take that one from Matt. You know, when you spit in my face, I didn't want to do that for Guy. No, He took every bit of that punishment. He was totally committed to doing His Father's will. In John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me." What was that will? In Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." He came. He endured this for you, for me. Total commitment. Total commitment. So when Matt looks at his life, and Matt looks at all those different things versus what Jesus did for me, Matt falls short a whole lot. But Matt knows to who to look to. Matt knows who to go to. Because we know, what did he do in 1 Peter 2, verse 24? Who his own self bare our sins. Matt's sins where? In his body on that tree. We being dead to sins, we should be living under righteousness. By whose stripes? Stripes that cut into him. That he bled. But those stripes, we are healed. We have a song in our songbook that I want us all to sing, explaining just how much Jesus did for us. Stuart's going to lead us in that song.
I gave my life for Thee.
the things that Jesus did for us, giving His life for us, giving His all, giving us those wonderful, beautiful gifts that He gives, of pardon and of love. And what do we give Him? What do we bring back to Him? You know, what excuse do I have for not being committed to Jesus? What excuse do I have for not being committed to doing the work of the Lord? And you know, we may have, there's a lot of excuses we can have. We could be like Moses and say, you know what, I just really don't have the ability to do that. You know, who am I? What should I say to him? I'm not eloquent of speech. We can use that as an excuse, or we can say, you know what, I'm really not important. You know, who am I anyway? I'm just a little old nobody. And what did Gideon say when he said, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." But look at the things that Gideon did with God behind him. You know, it's just really too difficult to be faithful to you, to be committed to you. And you know what? The slothful man said that there's a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets in Proverbs 22:13. But nothing of lasting value ever comes easy. You know, I'm not perfect, and no one is, and I can't please him, so I'm not going to be committed to him. So what do we do? Let's hide our talent. That's what we'll do. I'll hide it, and hiding my talent, I'm hiding my commitment. Matthew chapter 25, what do we have here? We have one that received the one talent. He came and he said, "Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not strowed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. And there that thou hast, there it is. That it is." Think how hard the master's going to be when we're not totally committed. Or, you know what, I just don't have the time. There will be one that consents to make an excuse, and the first is going to say, "I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee, have me excused." And another is going to say, "You know, I brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, pray I be excused." And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I can't come. Well, I just don't have time to be committed. Are those excuses going to be acceptable before God? Will He accept those things? We as Christians have to stop the excuses, and we have to stay committed to our Father. We have to stay committed to the one who suffered and died for us. And you know what? None of us are perfect. And I don't think there's one person in the sound of my voice that would even claim perfection. We know that Jesus is the only one that's perfect. That's why He is the standard we use. Using our sinful self, you know, I'm not perfect. Using my sinful self as an excuse for not striving for perfection and our commitment to serving God is just that. It's an excuse. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, what did he say? "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Even when we mess up, we have the one who is perfect that can help take care of that sin for us. There's not, like I said, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And we know what the wages of sin is. It's death. And we know these things. And we know that if we confess our sins, as we had in the little drill class, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we have a complete commitment to God and His requirements for us? Or are we just trying to get by? God does not want our second best. He wants our best. And He gave us His best. Are you a Christian tonight? If not, there's no better time right now than to commit yourself to the Lord and to commit yourself to Him right now by becoming a Christian. And if you are a Christian and you failed in your commitment to God in some way, or that commitment is lacking some way, come forward, confess your faults, and humbly ask for forgiveness, because He will forgive you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come?